This is the 18th class, Kartik 2009, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, October 17th, Diwali. This is the birthday of Kamala, Lakshmi Devi's birthday. We're discussing the Sadhana Bhakti chapter, just entering into Raghunuga Sadhana. Yesterday we heard about two different types of Raghunuga, Ragatmika Bhakti, Kama Rupa Ragatmika Bhakti, and Sambandha Ragatmika Bhakti. And then it was basically saying that Rag Bhakti is all about absorbing the mind. The mind should be absorbed in Krishna. Then Rupa Goswami cited a verse from the 7th canto of Bhagavatam, how different devotees attain perfection by even absorbing their mind in fear. Kamsa was fearful of the Lord, and he was always thinking of the Lord, and he attained perfection. He was liberated by the Lord. And Shishupal, he was envious of the Lord, and he attained perfection because his mind was fully absorbed in the Lord. It says that Shishupal, before he could speak, he was cursing Krishna. He was so envious of Krishna that when he was a baby, instead of saying ba, ma, 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 he's saying k, k, k. He's trying to say Krishna. And then when he got older, he said, you know, Krishna and some other curse words or something, whatever, I don't know. Shishupal was really envious. Now, he was contrasted with another envious person. But this envious person is named King Vena. King Vena, I think everyone's heard in the Bhagavatam. He was a very mean and nasty person, very envious of God. He stopped all the yagyas and pujas, which were intended for Vishnu. He said, I'm Vishnu, Naradeva, God among men, the king. I'm the Samrat, the emperor of the world. There's no need to worship Vishnu. And told all the Brahmins to stop all the yogis and pujas and just say, Om Shri Vena Namaha. Om Shri Vena Namaha. And they didn't like this very much because they wanted to say, Om Shri Narayanaya Namaha. Om Vishnaya Namaha. So he said, forget it. So then they warned him. They said, listen, it's not a good idea to stop our puja and worship of Narayan because we have Brahma Tejas. We may direct it towards you and finish you. And he didn't pay heed to their warning, and they chanted mantras which took away his life airs because sound controls air. And he was finished. So it appears that the enemies, we hear enemies like Shishupal and Kamsa, they were also liberated, and devotees like the gopis who were absorbed their minds in Krishna out of calm or lust, intense attachment to please Krishna's senses, and other devotees like the Yadavas and Pandavas who absorbed their minds in Krishna out of sneha or intense affection, they all got the same end. They're all liberated. They all went to the spiritual domain. One position or another, so it seems equal. And this is Division 1, Chapter 2, Text 278. Rupa Goswami makes some distinction here. Yadarinam priyanam cha prapyam ekam ivoditam tad brahma krishnior aikyat kiran arko pamajusho. When it is said that the enemies, Adi, like Kansari, the enemy of Kamsa, Ravanari is the name for Ram. When it is said that the enemies and the dear friends, Ari and Priya, you can be an Ari, Krishna Ari or Krishna Priya. One is enemy, Kamsari. When it is said that the enemies and dear friends of Krishna or the Lord attained the same destination, it means the same end or same goal or same position in the sense that Brahman and the personal form of Krishna are one entity. Just like the rays of the sun and the sun are one. So, of course, the demons that are killed by Krishna, they attain mukti, but it's a huge mukti. They merge into the effulgence or jyoti of the Lord, Brahma Jyoti. That's also Krishna. It's just like if you can merge into my hair. If I kill you and mix you in with my hair, you can say, well, I'm one with Maharaj. Or I can kill you and put you inside my heart. So it's a different intimacy, a different degree of intimacy with the Lord, obviously, that being mixed up in somebody's hair like a piece of lice or a bug isn't the same as being mixed up in somebody's heart. So the demons are like lice in the hair of the Lord. They're like, lice means bugs, if you don't know. Like little bugs to get inside the hair if people don't wash their hair, like hippies or whatever. So the demons there are in the effulgence of the Lord. Oh, this is kind of an obvious conclusion. Jiva discusses the same point, that one shouldn't be confused, that those that have hatred and fear of the Lord, envy and bhayam, like Shishupal and Kamsa, they don't attain the same goal as those that have conjugal love and affection, sneha and madhura bhav. The doubt may arise how an enemy of Krishna and a friend of Krishna can achieve the same goal. This verse clears the doubt. Priyanam refers to the gopis, the brishnis, the pandavas, and Narad. The example of the sun and its rays are given in Brahma Samhita. This is Sri Jiva Goswami's commentary. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagadanda koti kotishvashesha vasudari vibhuti binnam tad brahma nishkalam anantam ashesha bhutam govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. Translation 540. I serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, the primeval Lord, whose transcendental bodily effulgence, known as Brahma Jyoti, which is unlimited, unfathomed, and all-pervasive, is the cause of the creation of unlimited numbers of planets with varieties of climates and specific conditions of life. A similar verse is there, Brahmanohi Pratishtaham. Krishna says in Gita, that I am the shelter of the impersonal Brahman. If a person becomes highly qualified, he realizes the condensed form through the appearance of the Lord as Bhagavan with form and qualities. Condensed form, in other words, the diffused, there's condensed and diffused. The diffused form of the Lord is the all-pervasive energetic aspect. There's energy and energetic, so the energy aspect. The light, the sun's light is all-pervading, it's spread everywhere. But there's a localized or condensed form of the sun, which is a planet. And the planet is personal. The ruler of the planet is a person. So Krishna is the person behind the Brahman. He's a condensed form of Brahman. This is Sridhar Swami's commentary. If a person is qualified, he realizes the condensed form. Through the appearance of the Lord is Bhagavan with form and qualities. Otherwise, a person realizes the diluted form through the appearance of Brahman with no forms and qualities, Nirgun, Nirgun Brahman. This is the Mayavadi idea, that Nirakar, Nirakar, Akar means form, Nirakar, Nirgun, Nirashesh, no differentiation, no unique differences, it's all one. When we say Savishesh, Vishesh means specialities, differences, qualities. That Lord has Divya Gun, He's Gunatit, He has transcendental qualities and transcendental form and transcendental attributes. One should understand that the effulgence of the Lord must have a foundation, and the foundation is the personal aspect of God. If one is very inquisitive, one can consult the Bhagavad Sandarbha, says Jiva Goswami, if you want to know more about this idea. It's text 279. Pramanyeva layam yanti priyena ripuval hare kechit prayapi sarupya basam majanti tatsuke. The enemies of the Lord, they merge generally into the impersonal Brahman. Some of them, though, attain a semblance of a form similar to the Lord's. Sarup Abhas. They remain absorbed in the happiness of Brahman, Jiva Goswami says. The verse indicates that Brahman is the destination of the Lord's enemies. Vishnath comments, among the enemies, some merge into Brahman. Others, such as Srigala Vasudev, there's a footnote, although he has the same name as Krishna's father, Vasudev, he's called Srigala. What is that word? What does Srigala mean? He's called Srigala. He was a king of Karavira. And he was killed by Krishna and Balaram while they were living in Mathura. So he's some kind of... He attained a form somewhat resembling the Lord. Text 280. Here, Rupa Goswami quotes from Brahmanda Puran. Siddha lokastu tamasa pade yatra vasantihi siddha brahma sukhe magna daityascha harina hata. I mean, we nowadays, of course, we're living in this modern age where everything is very brief and abbreviated and very quick and to the point. But when it comes to Tattva Siddhanta or establishing the truths of God and the truths of bhakti, then the acharyas of devotion, the guardians of devotion, the mahajans, like Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami, and others, they present the concepts in a very systematical and methodological way, very point by point by point. So a lot of times when you're reading Brihad Bhagavatamrita or Nectar Devotion, other books, it seems that they, all right already, I got the point. Because everybody's very fast acting in this world. But they make one point that the enemies of the Lord, their minds are absorbed in the Lord, so they get rewarded. They get benefit for absorbing their minds in the Lord. Because a side point that can be made that any continual contact with the Lord must produce some result. The Lord has Naam, Rup, Gun, Leela, and his entourage, Parishishna, or Parishad. If one contacts any one aspect of the Lord, either his name or form or qualities, then he gets some result. Result may be slow, or may be fast, it may be profound, it may be shallow. Depends on the extent of contact and the contactor. What is the content of the heart and consciousness of the person contacting the Lord? That's why we have Nama Parad, we have Nama Bas, we have Shudanam. These are all different levels of people contacting the Lord in His name. They're connecting with the Lord, but the result is different. Everywhere there's result. There's Halanam, Shtobanam, and Parihasanam. And everyone that has some contact, they get some reaction. They get some response. They get some benefit. In the same way, so here he's trying to explain, okay, this is the demons and they get this benefit, this happens. So the main point is that everyone gets some benefit by contacting the Lord. But how much we surrender and how much we perceive the Lord. Now, it's a matter of absorption. King Vena, he was envious of the Lord, like Shishupal. But he was so busy with enjoying his kingdom and lording it over everyone and fighting and doing so many things that 24 hours a day his mind was not wrapped at the Lord's lotus feet out of envy. He was envious of God, no doubt. He stopped all the pujas and yagyas, everything, worship of Vishnu. And that's out of envy. He had intense envy. That was his basic quality or outlook towards God, was envy. But his mind was not absorbed. He was acting in an envious way, but mostly his mind was thinking how to find pleasure, how to find satisfaction, how to get profit for himself. But these other personalities, Shishupal, for example, who is a classic envious person, he hardly slept. He was doing juggling every night, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So there's a difference. So he got rewarded. He was liberated. So absorption in Krishna is emphasized here. And here in this verse, Siddha Lokas tu tamasa pare yatra vasanti. Vasanti, of course, they go, vas. Siddha Loka, the spiritual world, is beyond Prakriti. The demons killed by the Lord and some sages dwell, merge in the happiness of Brahman, and this Siddha Loka. Jiva Goswami, the proof that the demons merge in the Brahman will be given in the first half of this verse, 282, which is yet to come. The proof that some demons attain the planet of the Lord but still remain merged in the happiness of Brahman is stated in this verse. So it's interesting. This is, they Siddha Loka, they go to the spiritual world and they're on the same planet, so it's Salokya. It doesn't say they get the same form, but they're on the same planet, so they have that much personal idea because they're thinking of the person or envious of the person. But then they don't want to do any seva. They don't really want to do any seva than that. So they're on the same planet, but they're just experiencing the happiness of Brahman, but they're not offensive. So they can stay there. They don't fall from there. There's a verse in Bhagavatam that says, Aruya Krishna Param Param Patant Patanti Donat Yushmat Angriya. How's the first verse? How it starts off? That's the last two lines. Samasrite? No, is that it? Do you know that verse? Yen Ye, it's in maybe 10th canto. Yen Ye Ravindaksha Vimuktimaninas Toyasta Bhavat Avashuddha Buddhyo. Aruya Krishna Param 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 Patanti Donat Yushmat Angriya. It says that they don't have attachment, yet angry, for the lotus feet of Aravinda Lochana. They don't have attachment for the lotus feet of Krishna. Vimukta maninas. But you heard Prabhupada so many times preaching this verse. Toyasta bhavad avashuddha buddhya. Avashuddha buddhi. Avashuddha. Their buddhi is not pure. It is ashuddha. And maninas. They think themselves that they're liberated. So these are the demons that go to the Brahman. Aruya Krishna Param Param Param. They work Aruya Krishna, Aruya Krishna. They work very, very hard to attain that Brahman status. The Gyanis, the Yogis, they merge in the Lord Brahman's feature. But because they have some envious mood or some offensive mood, then Patanti Ado Nadrita Yushmadangriya. They fall again. Patanti Ado. Ado, Ado, like we say Adam, Adama. They go down. They go down again. But these characters that are killed by the Lord and go to Siddhaloka, that's it, nitya. They stay there because they're not offensive. That's why we say there's two types of Brahman realization. One is eternal, one is not. So this verse is saying, echoing a similar point. Vishnu says, Siddhaloka refers to the sages. The sages and demons dwell on that planet of the Lord, merged in the happiness of Brahman. So now, text 281. Raga bandena kenapi tambajanto vrajantyami angri padma sudha prema rupastasya priyajana. Those persons who are most devoted to the Lord, who are the very form of prema, and who worship Krishna with intense spontaneous absorption, attain the nectar of his lotus feet. The dear devotees of Krishna who serve him out of intensely passionate love, rag, forever drink the nectar of prema of his lotus feet. It's a second translation. So obviously, he's contrasting those personalities of demons with the devotees who are prema rupas, priyajana. Prema rupas, priyajana. Those dear devotees are the very form of prema. Prema Sudha. Angri Padma Sudha Prema Rupa. Sudha means the nectar, Radhara Sudhani, the nectar from the lotus feet. As you know, the flower has some nectar. This is the origin of honey. Everyone maybe must have had honey, right? Especially New Zealanders. They know about the honey, like heavenly honey, celestial honey from New Zealand. It's world famous as the best. The world's best honey comes from New Zealand. There's some nice honey from Hawaii, but they don't have so many varieties. So this flower gives honey, it gives nectar, which condenses to honey. And this Krishna's feet, his feet are called Padma Angri, lotus feet. And Sudha means the nectar of his lotus feet. So devotees, they drink nectar. Okay, Brahmanand, that is an inconceivable happiness. The happiness of Brahmanand is like an ocean compared to the drop. You know, the happiness of this material world is like a drop. It's called Indriya Sukh or Swarga Sukh. Swarga Sukh or Indriya Sukh, the happiness of the material pleasures of this material body are like a drop compared to the ocean of happiness in Brahmananda. It says Brahma Sukh or Brahmananda, the bliss of Brahman. But Premananda, the bliss of Prem, that is like an unlimited ocean, not just an ocean, but an unlimited ocean, compared with Brahmananda, which is like a drop, Sukhabindu, a drop of happiness. That's only talking about Vaikuntha, Vaikuntha bliss, the bliss of Vaikuntha. What about the bliss of Goloka Vrindavan? the bliss of the nectar of Krishna's feet. This is what's being discussed here. Persons that are devoted to the Lord, raga bandhena bhajant braja. They've gone to the Lord in their intense bhajan, and they're bound, raga bandhena. They're firmly tied, bound, bandhena. It's a similar, interesting, sambandha. We have the word bound. He's wedlock. They have a word in English called wedlock. Wedlock. When a man and woman combine together in marriage, it's called wedlock. Wedding, wedlock. They're tied together and by the marriage vows and emotional attachments. And similarly, this is sambandha. It means to be bound, tied, completely bound and tied. Ragbandena means that one's completely tied and bound due to his ecstatic absorption and attachment to serving and pleasing the Lord. Ragbandena kenapi tam bhajanto bhajantyami. Angri padmasudha premarupastasya priyajana. Jiva Goswami says that this verse especially describes the position of the devoted gopis. This is, of course, Rupa's own composition. The word Priya indicates the Priya gopis. See note on Rag. Rag means attachment in the mind. Rag is a quality of the mind. Of course, we discussed a lot of these things. Bhakti. What is bhakti? Bhakti means making permanent changes in the mind. We have to absolutely give up our previous ideas and conceptions. We have to die to live. If we want to really love someone completely from our hearts, we actually have to kill ourselves. We have to give up our conception of our own happiness and pleasure. We have to abandon our own desires. Totally giving up the self, killing your material personality. Suffering is caused by not surrendering to Krishna. Well, that's a very interesting statement. Suffering is, we think that suffering is caused by lack of friendship or lack of honor or lack of sense gratification or lack of money or lack of love, material love, woman love, man love. Lack of health, this is cause of suffering, adhyatmika. But suffering is caused by not surrendering to Krishna. Once we have the feeling to please Krishna and follow it, you become blissful. Of course, when that once comes, I don't know. When that once life or once moment or once time will come, when our only feeling and all-consuming idea and desire and feeling is to, yes, I only want to live to please Krishna. I only want to breathe to please Krishna. I only want to speak to please Krishna. I only want to think to please Krishna. I only want to exist to please Krishna. When that once comes, when, I don't know. I really can't say myself. But if and when that time comes, then the person will become blissful. This is the meaning of bhav. Otherwise, we try to follow our mind, which always changes. Our mind is always changing and causes us to face so many obstacles and obstructions. So basically, there's a choice. We can follow our mind, which results in so many obstacles or obstructions, or we can follow the ragatmika janas of Vrindavan. We can follow the ragatmika bhava of the Brijvasis and desire to attain their bhava. This is Raghunuga Bhakti. This type of devotion is not dependent on Shastra. It's only dependent on natural liking. We have to associate with those that naturally like Krishna, like Rupa Mundri and Rati Mundri and Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami, and pray that I have all unnatural things in me. I am not Mr. Natural. I am Mr. Unnatural. Please make me a natural person. This is a verse from 10th Canto. It's the same point. And we're going verse by verse in this book, so we can't neglect the thinking or the line of thinking of Rupa Goswami, because this is a verse by verse class. He's, as I said, he appears from our modern super fast viewpoint to he introduces an idea, then he mentions a little bit about it, then he goes back to the idea and goes more deeper into it. And kind of like, it's almost like a dance. You take one step forward, then two steps back, then one step forward, then one step back, then three steps forward. You see the progression. You're here and you go one step forward, and then you go back two, and then you go up three. So gradually you're going like this, and like, you know, it's kind of like you're making progress like this. You see? It's very interesting. It's like we do sometimes in Harinam, and now we dance back and forth like this. This is the way he's presenting it. So this is a verse from 10th canto, and you'll hear again the same idea. It's chapter 87, verse 23. It says, Nibritta maran manaksha drida yoga yuja vridiyan Muni upasate tadar aryo pi ayu smaranat Sriya uragandra boga buja danda visakadiyo. Actually, this was, verse was quoted earlier, too. Vayama pite samaha samadrishongri sarojasuda. Simply by constantly thinking of Krishna, the enemies of the Lord attain the same Brahman that sages fixed in yoga worship by controlling their breath, mind, and senses. Similarly, we, the personified Vedas, the Shrutis, adopting a mood similar to the gopis, which means they attain gopi bhav. They follow the bhav. The mood means the bhav, the mellow, the sentiments. These Shrutis, they started meditating and following the footsteps of the Braja Gopis, Gopi Anugata. And they attained Gopi Rupam. They became Siddha, Sadhana Siddha Gopis, and they entered the Rasa dance with Krishna. We finally attained Gopi Deha. So all of these, they will achieve the same nectar of your lotus feet that your consorts are able to relish because of their loving attraction to your mighty serpentine arms. So this verse is also, of course, the commentary in this book is there. Rupa Goswami wants us to deeply understand the difference between Kamanuga Ragatmika Bhakti and Sambandhanuga Ragatmika Bhakti. Then that would go into the practice, because we hear about the description of the different types of devotees and how they intensely worship the Lord. And of course, it's all Brijvasis, the Gopas or the Gopis or the friends of Krishna or the mother and fathers. I mean, mother and father of Krishna. So it says here, Jiva Goswami comments, he's comparing, he says, the prayers of the personified Vedas, they attained Gopi Deha. And then the yogis who attained Brahman, there is some similarity because they both had Vrag. This is the idea. The enemies of Krishna attained that Brahman which the sages contemplate in their hearts simply by remembrance of the Lord and fear or hatred. How powerful is remembering the Lord? Because ultimately, Rag Bhakti is based on Smaranam, remembrance. Yogis, so difficult to perform yoga. This is Astanga Yoga. And they ended up in the effulgence of the Lord, in the Brahman. And the enemies who simply always thought of the Lord, remember the Lord, although they, you can imagine, Shishupal and Kamsa, they didn't eat one chickpea a day or do all kinds of strict fasting and self-control and self-denial. They were kings. They enjoyed so much with their queens and eating ahara nidramaitun bayam. They were eating like anything, sleeping like anything, enjoying women like anything, and conquering kingdoms all over the place, and getting so much puja, lobe, pratishtha, kamani, kanak. They had it all. Kamani, kanak, pratishtha, gold, wealth, everything, honor, control, ego, pride. They were total materialists. But the one good thing they had going for them, their minds were always absorbed in Krishna. What kind of yoga? They were absolute bogies. But they got the absolute destination of the yogis. Interesting. Total absolute bogies, but they got the same destination as Siddha yogis. That's what's being said here. This is the powerful. Striya refers to the gopis. The gopis attain the nectar of your lotus feet, and all the different sweetnesses filled with prem. We, the personified Vedas, the Upanishads, we've adopted their mood. And we've attained forms like them, and now we're relishing the nectar of your feet. The gopis mentioned in the Bhagavatam verse are those Kama Rupa Ragatmika Bhaktas. And the personified Shrutis who are speaking are Kamanuga devotees. Again, there are two types of Raganuga, Sadhana, Bhakti. One is called Kamanuga, Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti, and Sambandhanuga. So this is an example of those that attain perfection. The Kamarup Gopis. Similarly, the Brishnis, those are Krishna's relatives, they should be understood, they're mentioned in this verse, to be Sambandha Rupa Ragatmika Bhaktis, and those who follow after them would be Sambandhanuga Raghunuga Sadhana Bhaktis. Vishnath comments, the word nibritte means extreme steadiness. It means a different process of yoga, dharana, pranayama, all these things. And they did so much, the yogis do so much breathing control, all this, and the gopis are, and the enemies are simply absorbing their minds in him of hatred, and the gopis are absorbed in thinking of Krishna's beautiful arms, his snake-like arms, out of loving attachment. So now we're going to go into the definition of Kamarup Ragatmika Bhakti, which we hinted at briefly several verses ago, and that will be tomorrow. This is the in-depth study of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Some people may be impatient to go forward, but Rupa Goswami is taking us slowly through this knowledge, this presentation, verse by verse, and supporting verses and evidence, so we can understand deeply the concept of Raghunuga Sadhana.